That's a delicious beverage. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. My name is Dean. This might be the first time I haven't showered before a show. Is this it? I feel like I've got a dirty ass for this program, Lachlan. I feel like it's weird if I don't shower before a show. I've been so busy today, I haven't had a chance to shower, and I just feel like a dirt ball today.
Are you a daily shower guy?
Big time. Yeah.
Yeah,
and there's this new hippie movement where you don't shower every day. You don't wash your hair every day. Have you heard of this? This new hippie movement?
I don't get that.
Yeah, women specifically.
No.
My significant
men
other.
Too.
She's like, I don't wash my hair every day.
And well, I'm like, no, that's not a hippie thing.
Well,
that's
not that. A hippie. I know there's that. Now, like, boys, men are like, I'm not washing my hair.
There's a millennial thing. There's a millennial thing too about not washing your hair. You're supposed to let the natural. No, not me. Well, do you use shampoo?
Oh, nah, whatever. A soap shampoo.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing. People get a little crazy about the showering and the washing of the hair, specifically women. I've noticed. Like the women in my life are like, no, you never, ever, ever wash your hair 2 days in a row.
That's I'm a,
like,
well, that's a
that
thing.
Means you got greasy, dirty hair. They're like, no, because it needs to be shiny every couple of days. And I'm like, whatever. And they're like, what do you use? Shampoo, conditioner? I'm like, soap, body wash, whatever's in the shower. Like, is it liquid? Does it smell like clean? Because that's what I use in my hair. And I do it every day.
You've got a whatchamacallit, like a house full of boys too, right?
Yeah.
So it's different, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
totally.
It's like I've always had women, so.
Yeah,
I know. If I ran out of shampoo, she'd probably buy it for me, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. We all have different like rules of etiquette. We all like men are different than women. Men don't care. Like I go in the shower. This is generally speaking. This is what happens. I go in the shower. Let's say I get in the shower at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm out of the shower at seven.
I'm out of bed into the shower guy.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why you're wandering around four hours into your day without a shower. What's wrong with it?
Busy because I start work as soon as I get up. It's 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Shower.
Right. No. I'm busy. I got to have a coffee. I need to read. I need to kind of ease into my day, set up my day. And then I go have a coffee and then I have a shower. But listen, it takes me 4 minutes to get in and out of the shower.
Yeah. You don't
my
mess
significant
around in
other.
In there for
25, 30 minutes.
What is she doing?
And it's
in there?
All activities. Shaving? She's doing all activities in there. Loofah, the face, the teeth, the hair, and then the oil for the hair. And then the toes and then the feet. And I remember saying to her, like, listen, is there a chance that like you could just do the top of your body and like do what I do? You just let it all kind of wash down.
No,
don't worry about your legs.
She's you like, have to wash disgusting. Your legs and your feet. You're disgusting. I have a move too. Do you have a shower head?
Yeah, that you can take off the wall. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, and it's got different settings.
Yeah.
I put it on the jet setting and I do one of these.
Yeah. Right down the crack. You have to. It's a sandblaster. It's the only way to get everything clean, right? It's like a bidet.
So I know it's that my ass is cleaner than yours today because I already did that. All right. Are we bringing Karima in? She's waiting.
Yeah. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, she's sitting in the green room. I can see her literally looking at the camera going, I've missed nothing. Please welcome back to the program, Miss Karima Saad, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry you had to hear that. Hygiene conversation.
Start the whole jacket on. I like it.
Can I ask you a question? Do you wash your hair every day? Are you like a everyday hair washer?
No, you're not supposed to wash your hair every day.
Who made the rule?
That's a woman thing.
What is that? Don't do that. That's misogyny.
In my life,
you can't say it's a woman thing.
I think it applies to everyone. But yeah, your hair has natural oils that you shouldn't wash every single day. But you should.
Do you think there's any oil in Dean's hair?
Well. How you doing? Yeah, how you doing? Like my hair? No, there's no oil in my hair. Look at
no.
It.
Oh,
look
there's at not. It. Your hair has oil, and it must.
Yeah, but no. Like when I grew up in the 70s and 80s, because I'm 100 years old, you washed your hair every day. Get in the shower, you wash your hair, you wash your body, you wash your feet, you do all this stuff, and you get out of the shower. You don't strategically wash certain parts of your body on certain days just so your hair can be a certain thing. You just don't.
As long as I remember, the women in my life have always taken like a day or two off from washing their hair. And I think there are some men that do it now. Like I said, it's become a bit of a millennial hippie thing.
Yep.
So
it's a shame. It's a shame. We're just a bunch of dirty haired people running around there all the time now. Kind of tired of it, to be honest with you. I didn't know everybody was so dirty.
You have like a trickle down wash effect.
You don't?
He washes his head and he leaves the like the bottom half.
You let it cut.
This is more than I needed to know.
When you get in?
I'll take you through my routine. Thank you for asking. I get in the shower nude. That's what I do. And I get in the shower, and the first thing I do is I brush my teeth. Can't brush my teeth.
You brush your teeth in the shower?
All the time. Have to do it because it's warm. Get the warm water, brush your teeth. You know that's out of the way. You don't have to worry about it. Done. Then I get a tremendous amount of suds, and I put it in my hand, and I put it on my head. Then I wash my head, then I do my pits, and then I do behind my ears, then I do my face, then I do my shoulders and back, and then I do my torso, and then I do the private area. It's really important. You got to clean that area too. Then I let all the soap, as I'm washing it, drip its way down and get all the other parts of my body, including my legs.
Is this because you're not very flexible and you can't bend down?
Correct.
Good. That makes sense. You know what I do? I get into the shower and the first thing I do is watch my balls.
I can't even.
I'm a balls first guy.
A woman on the show. Stop it.
What? I can't even. That's just a natural place for my hands to go.
Whatever. Yeah. Guaranteed the cleanest part of my body too, but we don't need to do that with Karima. She's a professional. We're not here to talk about that, okay? We're here to talk about other things. Sorry you had to put up with that. I apologize. We'll get back to the bathroom humor. After we interview you, how are you, Karima Saad? Frozen? How are you?
I can't complain. Did we lose her? You know, it's springtime. Almost, right? I feel that spring in my step.
Yeah. Do you? Because I'm watching you do some stuff, and protest mania continues in this country, and you are doing things that give me PTSD. Legit.
Yeah. For 3 years now, it's been a lot of protest on the street. And so I maybe have built sort of my own coping mechanisms or immunity to it. But I can appreciate that someone just kind of tuning in to videos may find it disturbing. And in fact, it's intense. There's a lot of unrest. There's a lot of social unrest. I think our social fabric is not in a great state. And, you know, I think it's important to document that. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And this is kind of what I want to get to is that, you know, it's still awesome to watch you work. There aren't many people that have the ability to, you know, stick with the chaotic program of civic uprisings, right? Or civil uprisings where you've got people that are banging drums, screaming, yelling. And if you know anything about Karima, if everybody's been watching, Karima really made her bones during the convoy. And that's been like literally a 3 year long protest that happens on weekends. And Lachlan and I legitimately marvel at the ability that you have to kind of continue to go back into those spaces because he and I are huge wimps, huge mental and emotional wimps where it's like, all right, that's enough, can't handle it anymore. But you just continue to roll with it. Is this like because I'm watching you do the, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like the convoy protests, sure, there were protests, but meaningless by and large because they were talking about, you know, dumb shit. And, you know, they're, well, I think they were anyway. But this is a meaningful cultural time in our lives where you've got Israel, Gaza, everything is happening here in Canada. And this is something that you've been covering. What's happening with this? Why is this continuing to percolate? Like, how, do you, when you look at what's going on with Israel, Gaza, are you like, man, this is like, I don't know where this is coming from, but it won't stop. But like, what do you make of what's going on in our country when it comes to that protest or that kind of heat that's around all those gatherings? I mean, gatherings are gatherings, protests are protests, but this one is very, very significant, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I push back a little bit in that not everything that was being protested during the convoy was meaningless. And, you know, some of the concerns raised have actually been borne out. And that said, there was a lot of, because of the nature of that protest, which was kind of everyone come on down, you know, it was not super cohesive. And it was spearheaded, I think, in part by people who, whose understanding of Canadian law and society, it just doesn't jive with the Constitution at all times or the way our systems work. So criticisms to be had for sure. But anytime that something moves people enough that they get out of their homes and they come onto the streets, yeah, it's noteworthy, right? It's noteworthy because it's not easy to bring people out. And you know, part of my observations throughout all of this have been that protest can be a form of community for people, particularly those who are routinely out. And you know, there's almost a taxonomy of protesters that can be developed from the footage that I've gathered, ranging from people showing up one-off to kind of dedicated to one issue, to I will be out literally any day, anytime, no matter what, because I like being on the streets. Mm-hmm. So I just to preface with that, but absolutely what makes, you know, the past 5-6 months unique, I think, is that this Canadian response to what's happening globally, to what's happening in Israel, Palestine, is first of all not limited to Canada. So this is a worldwide phenomenon, yeah, of protest that we're
seeing. That's worth saying. Yeah.
And you know, so it is, yeah, it's distinct. But there are also kind of carryovers from the convoy, from the drag story hour protests. Some of these perennial protesters I'm referring to have found a new cause to latch onto. And so it's the same principle that I think I've been saying throughout, which is you can't paint protests with a broad brush because there are a lot of motives and you know, that appear within any given group.
Yeah, so organic and inorganic, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. I have a question though, Karima, just based on that question about the overall, okay, outside looking in, Dean and I have this conversation all the time, and I don't think we agree on it. Dean sees a protest, completely doesn't matter what it is, and
I
gets angry,
yeah,
and gets angry at it, and is like, okay, go home. What's wrong with you people? Mm-hmm. And see, I'm torn because if you're impacting my day or anybody else's day and I can't get to work or I can't get to a meeting, then I'm angry. But I am also very much of the mindset that this is Canada, this is a free democratic society, and that people should be allowed to let people know what their opinion is about something. And like you said, if you feel strong enough to get out of the house and go to the streets to protest something, then it must be important to not just you, but, you know, so where do you stand on that? Like, how comfortable are you with the disruption of people's day-to-day lives in these major cities? And can you, it's tough to separate that from what the point of the protest is though.
So protest is often inherently disruptive. That's the point, right? To draw people's attention to whatever grievance it is. You know, on another level, you could argue that the point of protest is to register your personal discontent with something. And so it's not about persuading or raising awareness so much as it is to say, I'm here and this is how I feel. And, you know, freedom of expression, freedom of assembly, these are cornerstones of democracy. It's where we actually, you know, social movements, it's where we see progress or regression, depending on, you know, the particular case at hand, but it's significant for society. Now, that said, you know, it's all nestled, I think, within a framework of power. And I believe the reason that we are seeing so much protest so often is because people feel disconnected from the levers that would otherwise allow them to influence or access power, right? Mm. There's a disconnect with our politicians. There is a culture of lack of accountability that permeates all levels of government. And that
society, media and everything too, right? Yes. Like that lack of accountability is not just politics. It's yeah. I sorry to interrupt, Karima. I just wanted to point that out because
you're absolutely right. It's all institutions. It's all institutions. And I think that that's why we see this level of frustration and anger at times, because how else are people going to make themselves heard? Now, having said that, I think two other variables that I would point out. One is that there has been this normalization of harassment considered to be a form of activism. So the line between what is activism and what is harassment has blurred a great deal over the past few years that I've been observing it. And I'm sure that we could, you know, look at longer trends. So that's part of it. And so where that happens, you know, boundaries get crossed more frequently. And I think ultimately the end result will be a crackdown and restriction on everyone's civil liberties, because we will reach a point where it's untenable to carry on this way. And I think that the convoy did a great deal to contribute to this phenomenon. And, you know, we haven't slowed down. We've just kept going in that direction. And the other variable that I think is relevant is social media and the ways that people are connecting online, the ways that they are consuming information, you know, perception versus reality based on whatever echo chamber you happen to find yourself in. And this idea that everyone is supposed to have strong opinions on everything, whether or not you're fully informed. And so I think the confluence of those factors has contributed to this perpetual state of protest that we find ourselves.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, she's really smart, so she has the ability to kind of break down why we are in this heated position as a society and as a country and people that fight each other, right? Like, I mean, the end goal is, you know, you cover weekend fights with people that are just fighting over ideology.
Sometimes it's weekday fights.
Yeah, like, I know. You can't
It's really constant. And, you know, there's different types of protests where sometimes it'll, like, depending on size, depending on geography, is this an attack on particular politicians? Are there multiple groups out who are confronting one another? Or is it, you know, almost exclusively you know, cause X, and so there's maybe more harmony. So it is so, I've seen a whole spectrum of them, and it's, but all of it underlying it is this unrest and discontent.
You know what I find interesting, and thank you very much for breaking it down in terms of some of the principles and variables that go into unrest that you've experienced, because there's no one closer to it than the person that documents it weekdays, weekends, hours a day, hours a week. Someone who was in Ottawa this weekend, we'll get to some of that in just a second. But you're as close to it as you can humanly be, and it's really easy for us, you know, and we had the same conversation sort of with Adam Scorgi, film producer. We were talking about COVID and how hard it was for him to work during COVID. And it was easy for armchair pundits like me, right, sitting here to say, I don't like that, or you should comply, or that's no good, or this is good. Here's what everybody should be doing. But I'm not living his experience, so I'm not living his
frustration. Everyone's perspective's different, right?
Totally. Yeah. Your shared experience, your lived experience becomes your perspective, right? And so your perspective here is probably the most important perspective, because if you want to talk about experts, you get 10,000 hours in a certain subject, you're an expert. You probably got 50,000 hours of content that you've recorded over the past 5 years. So you're as close to this as you can, and I don't disagree with you. Personal preference for me when it comes to protest is that noise just needs to stop. But value it when it comes to the democratic process, right? Like, I really, really do. I understand it. I just don't like walking into it or through it when I have to get off of two streetcars because a bunch of morons with flags are like, we don't like what's going on over there. And to that point, I need to ask you about it, because there's a couple of videos that I want to bring to your attention. One, and these are your videos. I mean, the Israel-Gaza thing. And I know people are hot. I know people are pissed off. I get it. I know why people are they're like, okay, listen, we've hated you for generations. You've hated us for generations. I get it. I get the frustration. Totally get it. What I don't get is this shit, which is all that seems to be documented, is you got one group on one side of the road, the other group on the other side of the road, and in the name of their gods, right, they're telling each other to S each other's D's. Let's watch this together.
Who fucked your mother last night?
There you go.
Huh? I fucked your mother last night, you fucking dick!
That doesn't seem productive.
No.
How did you survive the abortion?
How did you
survive the abortion?
I mean, on top of not being
You're
funny.
So ugly. How did you survive?
Yeah, it's so... Look at that guy's face.
Oh, look at that! You've been choking your own shit!
Keep in mind, these are people, Karima, to your point, these are individuals that are fighting for, in the name of some kind of holy war, that are encouraging each other to, you know, with information that, hey, guess what I did with your mom last night? And I mean, you've seen a lot of this. Is this taught or is this generational? What is happening with these two groups? Like, what have you noticed this morph into, I guess, is a better question.
I think that to characterize it as inherently religious, there's definitely strains of that. And there are organizers who are motivated by religion, or that is, you know, something that they carry with them in how they, you know, choose to conduct themselves. But as you can see, it's also very secular and profane. So, you know, there's,
I like that part of this, by the way. I like the secular profane part of this religious protest mania, holy war that's going on in the streets of Toronto. And to that point, I have zero respect for anybody in that crowd, like zero, like none. I get what they're doing, but that crowd, that video that we just watched, I mean, like, what are you doing? What are you fighting for? Just the opportunity to insult some guy across the street?
Yeah.
It's not respectful or respectable behavior. I think we maybe stop short of saying that people aren't worthy of respect, even if they act that way, because then, you know, we're just descending into this sort of almost a morality policing, right? Like, so I think that we can condemn or criticize, obviously, what we saw in that video as being very unproductive. You know, at worst, it's something that could incite physical contact or conflict, right? Because it's meant to be deliberately provocative. That's a big component of what's happening on the streets, where it's, you know, kind of that kindergarten, like, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, just waiting for the other person to touch first. And then
it's very childlike, isn't it? It's very childlike. Like, the whole thing has been very childlike to watch these people go, no, F you, no, F you, no, your mother, no, your mother, no, you touch me, come a little closer. Like, I've seen a billion of your videos where it's like, you, how close are you to me? No, I'm not close to you. You're close to me. You don't touch me. Don't breathe on me. You don't have permission to do this. Like, all these fake laws that they're trying to goad you into doing something with them so they can, I don't know, create a video. But to your point, it is incredibly childlike watching these two factions go at it. Like, that comes through in all of your videos.
There's something about being in large groups that just, it lowers people's inhibitions and common sense, I think. And
intellect.
We sort of regress. So that's, I don't know, like, the psychology of groups, but I suspect that has something to do with it. It is clearly that doesn't serve the underlying cause. Whichever side of the street you're on, you know, you're not actually helping with anything. But it's probably cathartic. And that's, like, another purpose of protest, right? It's kind of this expunging your own negative feelings. And from that perspective, it's quite selfish and individualistic.
I find it stressful to watch your videos. I have a question, and I don't want to go down a path we don't need to go down. But Karima, this comes up occasionally. When you're out and you're documenting this, and it started with COVID, and it started with the convoy, and then it sort of has progressed, and again. I know there's a through line there, and you kind of alluded to it at the beginning of this conversation, but are there any paid protesters that you know of? Like, is that actually a thing? Because every time anybody brings that up, I'm like, what?
Yeah, and a lot of your videos include, like, with the Israel-Gaza thing, they include a lot of very familiar faces from the convoy and,
these people,
you know, other protests that have nothing to do with either of these two subjects as well. That's a great question.
So I think the simplistic idea of thanks for showing up, here's your paycheck for this specific protest, I don't believe that is a significant factor, if it exists at all. I do think that money flows in protest circuits. And that in and of itself isn't nefarious, because if we consider protest to be a form of civic engagement, then naturally it requires, you know, resources. And it may be fair game to pool resources for that purpose, or, you know, apply for funding or what have you. But I think that the way money flows, there's not a ton of accountability. And that's particularly true when we have not-for-profits that, you know, may receive grant money for X. There's no real stipulations, you know, for this community fund. And so it you know, or whether they're accessing slush funds from politicians or unions. I do think that there are institutional supports that are in place.
Domestic or foreign?
Probably both. Probably both. Right. So I, you know, now to parse out the numbers or the specifics, I'm not in a position to do it, because I just don't have that information. But I do know that, you know, in order to buy all of these flags, or in order to have glossy professional signs, or in order to, you know, coordinate and subsidize the cost of buses, or, you know, and countless other expenses that I could list off, obviously there's money there.
You were in Ottawa this weekend. Did you see, for the, there was a big pro-Palestinian ceasefire rally in Ottawa. You attended that. You also attended the Pierre Poilievre thing, which I'm going to get to in just a second, because that was hilarious. Did you see these people getting off of buses? Did you see them get bussed in, like a whole group of people?
Yeah, there were buses from several cities in Ontario and Quebec. But that's not like there was also a UJA rally for pro-Israel protesters back in December where there were buses. So again, it's not a tactic that is exclusive to one side or the other. In both cases, I believe that people getting on the bus had to pay, you know, a fee in order to cover their round trip, maybe a snack and a water bottle. So
lunch?
No lunch. At least not from the flyers. I did not sign up for any of the buses. I did not think that I would be allowed on any.
They didn't have granola bars. Oh, you for sure wouldn't be allowed on those buses. No granola bars. No.
I'm going to guess granola bars. No, there were snacks. So both advertised water bottle and a snack. So what the snack was?
This is crazy to me.
How much was the water bottle, snack, and ride?
So for the UJA rally, I believe it was $35 round trip from Toronto.
That's an expensive water bottle in an afternoon.
No, this is for the bus ride too.
Oh, okay. That's not
right. So that's actually very cheap, which to me says that there is, you know, more went into subsidizing the cost, right?
Yeah. Just covering the expense of the transportation, probably, right? Like,
and probably also it's meant to deter people from booking, you know, 100 tickets and then not showing up, right? Because the other side would do that to each other. Because that's just the world that we live in.
Forget about those sweet little tricks that you can play on each other, right? Yeah. You buy all the tickets right? And none left.
Now, the Palestinian rally, I think, was $65. So it was a bit more expensive. And this is, I'm talking
pricing. It's cheaper to be on the Jewish side of this equation. I like that.
Right, which, you know, then, like, it
attracts.
There's resources that get put into it from lobby groups, from, you know, like sponsors, like funding. So there's definitely money that flows. But having said that, I think that's the majority of people who are out there on the streets, there is a sincerity of belief, whether misguided, appropriately aligned, or like that's a separate question. But I do think that most people are sincere and not doing it for a paycheck per se. But of course, within the large group of protesters, there is a subset that probably benefit financially.
I want to ask you about that subset. Because there's, dude, yeah, it's a, would you not say at this point, protesting is sort of a mini gig industry, gig economy?
It's 100% an industry. Hate is an industry in Canada.
I love it. Yeah, totally. And there's no one more qualified to say that than the lovely young lady with red glasses in front of us named Kareem Assad at Kareema Rules on Twitter. I want to ask you about one of those people. Her name is Dina Sharif. Now, Dina's very interesting to me. Dina came to my attention about a year and a half ago because you couldn't tell the difference between her fighting for inclusion at these trans rallies and the people that were just wanted to fight. Now, this person has been all over you for quite some time, and this is one of those people that's at all the protests, just kind of puts a different protest hat on. This is my opinion from me watching the visuals of the Dina Sharif versus Kareema, because Kareema goes to these events to document the events. Dina goes to the events to fight people who don't align with how she thinks and feels. She says she's progressive. This is not progressive behavior. I just want to point this out. This is a video, and I want you. It's going to make me laugh. I'm sorry, Locke. It's going to make you laugh too, because this is craziness to me.
I know Dina.
This is you in Ottawa this weekend. Can you take me through this video now? Dina is part of the pushback for the convoy. Now she's fully in Team Gaz's corner. Good for her, I guess. But I mean, take me through what we're watching here, because this is creepy. Can you explain this?
Yeah. So. This is happening on Wellington Street outside Parliament Hill. I was there in kind of a stationary spot watching the scooters. I didn't really move a whole ton. And she just kind of kept coming back and looking like this, which I think speaks for itself. Very reminiscent of like a Batman villain, I think.
Chucky. Yeah. Like the Riddler or the Joker, Chucky. I mean, that's insanity. Right there.
Same makeup.
I don't, the smile doesn't quite reach the eyes, if you know what I mean.
It's this one. Like Crazy Joe Davola from Seinfeld. That's, I mean, How many times did Dina circle you at this rally on the weekend?
Oh, dozens.
Not saying a word? This is just what she was doing?
No, sometimes there'd be chirping. But like...
What's her problem with you?
So it's interesting. Dina used to be a fan and then kind of turned into an anti-fan. And so there's always been a level of obsession, I believe. We initially encountered her during the convoy when she was a lone counter-protester a few times, or at least once, but possibly twice. And, you know, from there, I guess she really fell into or was already part of, I don't know, these Ottawa activist circles. And then she became very front and center for what they would call pride defense, which basically constituted yelling at people outside of libraries and other public venues where drag story time was happening. And so, you know, she's defending trans people as a result. It's all quite, you know, very illustrative of That's this phenomenon terrifying. Of people putting on sort of capes, right? Yeah. Literally in her case, but appropriating identities, speaking on behalf of groups as a so-called ally, but in ways that, you know, I think damage public perception and drain goodwill because, you know, her behavior is quite erratic. And, you know,
so she shows up and you're like, oh no, not her. We're not going to get any support now. And the watermelon umbrella. What?
I wouldn't want her on my team for anything that I was advocating for.
Well, how many times has she been charged in the last couple of years?
So I know that she's received multiple tickets for use of megaphone during Palestinian rallies.
Yeah.
And you know, it is interesting how much she's actually managed to avoid any consequences or sanction for behavior that is objectively a safety risk to herself, to people around her, to her child, who she frequently brings out to protest.
Oh yeah. And arms her with this, like this electronic whistle that can only be described as a weapon. Like her daughter, like she's like, hey, blow this whistle in people's faces. And this woman just is crushing heaters, calling people the MF the entire time she's outside. And her daughter's like, the Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by factcheck.io. Factcheck.io, makers of the world's most comprehensive fact-checking software that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact-check anything that you read. It doesn't matter. If it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact-check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information so that you can give yourself agency over information in the age of disinformation. Again, want to beta test their product? They're going to launch it in the next month or two. Go to factcheck.io today. FAKTCHEK.io. Back to the show. As always, the Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io. Factcheck.io. Do you believe? The good people at FactCheck are a quorum of software professionals, psychological professionals, journalists that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter. If it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information and alternative sources. And there's going to be a weapon button too, where you can turn that information around and put it back out there accurately to combat disinformation. The good people at factcheck.io are right now testing their beta version of their free program. Yes, it will be free for anybody who wants to use it. They want to battle disinformation because it is a problem. Go to factcheck.io today. FAKTCHEK.io. FAKTCHEK.io. The world's most robust fact-checking disinformation software for news, social media, video, print, anything spoken word. These people are on the tip. And they use some of the finest software technology to be able to give you the advantage when it comes to getting agency back in your life, when it comes to information that you read. Go to factcheck.io today for more information. Sign up for their beta test, factcheck.io. Right next to her. And somehow she's the one on the right side of the equation. And this is part of the problem. But before we get to my thoughts on this, I just want to play the rest of the video because you can see how little Karima gives a shit. Watch this.
Sure, her child will be fine.
Oh, yeah. No, she's going to be good. Look at that. Yeah, imagine waking up to that or going to bed.
And she continues to circle me like a shark. I don't know. What circles? Something going down the drain?
A zero.
I mean, that's like... That's got to be off-putting for you, right? You show up to Ottawa and you have this woman who's got crazy eyes literally circling you, recording you the whole time. And keep in mind, like, for everybody out there. Yeah.
That sailed. That ship sailed a long time ago, Dean, for Karima.
Yeah, no, it's and like I have active, like I take recourse, right? Through Twitter channels as needed. So that's something that I'm availing myself of. The part that's actually disturbing is that there is a level of influence that she has within these circles, partly by virtue of being there for so long and by being, she calls herself an elder. It's because, you know, the majority of who she hangs out with are like 19 and 20 year olds. So yes, I suppose elder, but there is this degree of influence where she's able to point me out and say, you know, that person's dangerous. Watch out for them, block them, stop them. And people will follow those orders. And we go back to group mentality, sort of a suspension of critical thinking, you know, a trusting of someone who you think can be trusted. And then that puts people in their own hot water, right? It turns other protesters into cannon fodder, essentially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it if you recall the incident, not this past Sunday, last Sunday in Thornhill, involving a man with a framing gun who has been arrested. It's now characterized as hate motivated. So she was front and center of the part of that video that went viral. And you know, I have seen time and time again the ability to.
What do you mean she was front and center? Dina Sharif was front and center because if you don't know, a couple weekends ago, a gentleman brought a nail gun to one of these Israel Gaza rallies. I don't know what side of the equation he was on.
He was on the pro Israel side.
He was on the pro Israel side, and Dina Sharif was involved in that mess as well. She was front and
center. I don't think that she was one of the initial complainants. But there was a video of the incident that went viral and she's like squaring off with the guy in some, like she's trying to do like a Street Fighter move with her daughter, presumably right there. And I spoke with, you know, someone who is familiar with these tools and implements. And it sounds like it could have been a deadly weapon. So, you know, it's only a matter of time before you can't bank on everyone around you being less crazy than you, right? That's not a viable strategy, but that is what her strategy is.
Really good advice.
Hope isn't a strategy, is what you're saying. You better hope that the people around you aren't as crazy or crazier than you. Right?
No, don't bank on it.
Don't bank on it.
And yeah. I understand how maybe it's like a hedging of bets when you are pretty crazy, but like there are crazier people always, right?
Oh, that's as insulting as she'll get, by the way, Karima. It's only you dumb people hedging your bets that other people
are crazier than
you
to bring
nail guns to rallies.
Where do we send people to see your stuff?
I was like an island. I think we should send them all to an island. No, but now I understand what you mean. I'm available, you know, on Twitter at Karima Rules. That's my handle down here. Instagram, Karima Saad. I'm actually hosting a seminar on March 22nd about the rights and wrongs of protest. From a legal perspective and an optics perspective, I'll go through some of my footage and see kind of how it corresponds to various crimes and torts. And, you know, I will have some helpful suggestions and pointers that people are free to.
Oh, you're going to give people a lesson on what's legal and what is illegal at a protest after being the only person that's been able to go to all of them over the past several years. You have the vantage point and the data.
I like rules TED talk.
Yeah. But here's where you should charge that guy. This guy should have been charged. That's okay. You can get rid of that guy. That kind of stuff. You're telling the government, okay, enough. Here's what you're supposed to be doing.
That guy should have been tasered.
Okay, last question I'll ask you before we let you go. Karima Rules, at Karima Rules. You can find her on Twitter, anywhere you get your fine tweets. You can also find her at Cryer Media. You were in Ottawa. You go to a PP rally. Now, keep in mind, I love a good conspiracy theory, and I happen to think that Pierre Poilievre's entire image is a conspiracy. Take me through the climate change guy that got roughed up and arrested at the rally you were at, because first of all, I can't believe you actually made it into a conservative event. That is incredible. Good for you.
And Zach was the security. So it is, you know, I felt Zach's that was an accomplishment getting through the door. This was in Toronto. It was not in Ottawa. And it was an Axe the Tax rally, Stop the Hike, Spike the Hike, all of these little rhymy slogans.
Yes, it was slogan weekend in Ottawa. And where was this
overtaxed
event?
We're overtaxed as a society.
Overtaxed, overfaxed. Yeah, that's the next bumper sticker. Where was this event?
This was at the Toronto Congress Center.
Toronto Congress. So this was in Toronto this weekend. Okay, great.
I left Ottawa to come to this. So really, we're hitting the pavement. So there were, I would say at least 1,000, maybe 2,000 people who attended. It was fairly crummy weather, so again, to get people out of their homes is something, right? So there was definite momentum.
This is an invite only event, correct?
No, it was a public event, free event. So, you know, no cover charge or anything like that. Yeah. And it was essentially, we heard Melissa Lantzman speak, Jamil Giovanni, and Pierre Poilievre. And it was, you know, appealing to people's frustrations and base instincts, I would say. And we did observe someone who had a banner that he was trying to unfold and display during Pierre Poilievre's speech. And he was very promptly neutralized and escorted out of the building by police. Now, of course, it was a private venue. So the rules of trespass apply.
But how can they have a public event at a private venue?
Technically speaking, it was a private event as well. Now, there's a gray area, right? Because I was trespassed and arrested at a Ontario PC Party campaign event, which I would argue puts something very much in the realm of public interest. This was not a campaign event. It was just a rally. So it's still debatable. And I think that if this person were to fight a charge, if they got charged, I don't know that they got charged. You could argue that charter rights were infringed here. But it's ultimately private venue.
This isn't me taking sides, but I was hoping we'd see some footage of him getting a little bit of a beating.
Just a light ass kicking.
Just looking. When I was all excited for the footage.
I love when you say stuff like that, or I say stuff like that, and Karima has that look on her face like someone farted.
I don't want him to like have to spend time in the hospital, but just a, you know,
just like a little slap upside the head or something, just enough to ruffle his hair. No, that dude is a legitimate like climate change fighter, and he goes to this thing, to your point, and he's got a banner. Now, everybody that went to that event and this should not be a secret at this point, that these events are made for TV, right? They're made to create micro content to make it look like he's on stage and there's scads of people around him. And they're going to create micro content about it being the freest country in the world. But I find it interesting that the guy that wants to have the freest country in the world where you can come and go as you please is like, but you can't bring that banner in here because we'll have you arrested. I found that fascinating. I really did. And I get, you know, some people had tweeted me this weekend were like, well, Trudeau had hecklers taken out of his rally. I'm like, yeah, that's not good either. Like, if you are campaigning on in a democratic country to lead this democratic country and you're saying you're going to make this the freest country in the world, you know, to me, and you've been in these rallies, everything that goes into them are all performative and none of it's real. Did you get that feeling when they were handing out the spike, the hike?
Oh, I've said elsewhere that it had very much the vibes of a wrestling event. Because I know wrestling when I see it, and that's what it was. And that's not like it just, I don't think politics should be wrestling, but it is nowadays. There was not a ton of substance. As you said, there's these signs being handed out, someone pumping up the crowd, right? Which is like, fine.
They have a hype guy at these rallies. They have a hype guy's like, everybody, let's go. Oh, do they really?
He was in costume too. I mean, I don't, maybe he dresses like that normally. I don't know.
What was it?
I'm sorry, Lachlan. It was like a cowboy hat and a beard. So it may not have been a costume per se, but.
Did he get dressed up like a chicken with the funny chicken?
No, he was just dressed like an Albertan. So anyway, that's fine.
Let me guess. He's wearing a leather cowboy coat, a black cowboy hat, and he had a big beard.
Yep,
yes? Ah, I didn't even see the video. That's
him.
Good at this. Yeah, there you go. They got a hype guy.
Rallies. And you know, like the audience kind of knows when to cheer, when to boo. I go back to like this being sort of community building, right? And people have these grievances and are brought together by those grievances. And it's not so much about what's constructive and what can we do to address this, but let's all vent and dish together. Yeah. An optimism or a hope that maybe this will change things. But I am a bit more jaded than that.
You mentioned it at the beginning, Karima, about community. A lot of this is turned into, all my buddies, where are we going this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I want to get in those chat rooms where they're planning this weekend's protest. Like, I would love to be one of those guys in the chat room that like throws a couple monkey wrenches in there where it's like, okay, everybody, you have to bring one bag of marshmallows each. Everybody's like, why? It's like, because that's what God wants. And they're like, all right.
What do you mean, why? Why are you asking? Are you a fascist or something?
Awesome.
You're a fascist or something. You Marxist assholes. You Marxist, fascist, commie assholes. Someone called me that yesterday in a tweet. All three of them. Marxist, commie, fascist, asshole. I'm like, I can't even bother with this one. Yeah, you really got it all in there. Congratulations. Yeah. It's the spice stew.
When's this? When and where is this seminar, Karima?
Yeah.
So it's online. Yeah, it's online and on March 22nd. I'll make it my pinned tweet so that people can go check it out.
Can I take this course too? Can I be involved in this symposium?
Yeah, for sure.
Can I learn from you? Link.
I mean,
you have to bring marshmallows, Dean.
I will be.
I'll present the info. And, you know, questions, answers. I think it'll be fun. I'm just trying my hand at something a little bit different. And
good for you. Yeah. Good for you. Yeah, God. I love it. See, someone sent me a tweet the other day because I wrote about the Pierre Poilievre thing at Cryer Media. You can go read the story. You can go watch Karima's video. She was at the rally. And they're like, how dare... I still get these. Now you know what it's like to be me, right? Now I know what it's like to be you because I get... How dare you work with Karima? How dare you elevate her content? She's so hateful. They all get the block. Like, I could care less because I've known you for 4 years. Like, I know you. I know what your intentions are, so I don't listen to them. But I thought to myself for a second, I'm like, my God, how the tables have changed. Right?
Like, I know.
When we first started working together, everybody's like, how dare you work with Dean? He's disgusting. How dare you go on his show? I'm like, you get a lot of hate. She goes, oh, yeah, a ton. And now I'm getting the hate. How dare you go on with Karima? she's at every rally and she's working for the bad guys. By the way, I get that from both sides, just so you know. So you're working for the bad guys. I still like you.
I like, we came full circle. It's beautiful.
It is. It's really nice, isn't it? Karima Saad at Karima Rules is where you can find her on Twitter. And make sure you check out her protest symposium. Yeah. She's going to pin that tweet on her Twitter feed. I really like you. I'm really grateful you're my friend. Thank you for doing this. Really appreciate it.
Good to see you guys again. Talk soon.
Talk to you soon. Karima Saad, ladies and gentlemen. Karima. Toughest woman on the planet. They don't make them like that anymore.
She's awesome. Follow her on Twitter.
Or you can find, I think she's got Instagram too. It's where you get her cartoons.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to play the locker room retro replay of the day. Are you ready?
All right. Yeah, I'm ready.
This is the locker room retro break with the boys.
This happens occasionally on the program where the locker room, well, is no longer allowed to use a word. And
we overuse it and abuse it, and then we lose it.
Today it's gangbang.
Gangbang will no longer be a part of the vocabulary. And with that, fortunately for the locker room, we do have someone experienced in laying these things to rest. I'd like to welcome to the microphone, Pastor Jimmy.
Today, we'd like to gather around the mic today to say goodbye to a good friend of the locker room, the word gangbang. We regret that the word gangbang will no longer be part of our show. And we, as a locker room, will say goodbye in our own special way.
I will remember you. Will you remember me?
This song gets me every time.
Love you, gangbang.
Don't let your life pass you by.
I miss you, gangbang.
Weep not for
We did about I'd say 30 of those.
Starting to figure out why you got fired. It's all
let
together.
Go without cause. By the way, I want to wrap up here talking about poo.
Thank you. Yeah, that's because great. Gang bangs into
you
poop.
You brought something up that I think is legit.
We'll get to that in a second. Let's put this to bed. The locker room retro replay of the day. What you just did there is radio science. And it's from a time gone by that not a lot of people paid attention to. You were one of the best. I would probably say I was the king at it. When your boss at a radio station back in the day when this mattered said, you can't use this word. And you're like, no problem. Because you didn't want to get into a discussion about your rights to say certain words. So you just paid it lip service. And then after you paid them lip service, the next morning, you made a point of saying that word as many times as humanly possible and going upstairs and looking at your boss and saying, there you go.
We're done.
We're done.
We're never going to say gangbang on the radio again.
Never going to use the word douchebag, gangbang, prick, the R word, gay, any of that stuff. That is radio science, and what you just did there deserves a round of applause. Congratulations. Also, it shed some light on why you got let go without cause.
Okay, now, you brought something up to me the other day based on your weekend activities, and I think this is a thing. I think we should actually get people to comment below wherever you're watching this or seeing this. And tell me if this is you, because I've had moments, it's not instantaneous every time, but when you go into a box store, do you have the urge to take a dump?
It's, I have to tell you something. It's been a phenomenon in my life that I've been trying to figure out for many years. And I wrote an article on it this weekend, and I want to share it with you. Does anyone else get poop triggered by big box store / grocery shopping? The answer is yes, apparently. Because when I Googled it to try to write this piece, because I was so bothered by my own bung piece, I typed, why do I have to poop when? And all of a sudden, like 1,000 different results came up, and it was always shopping. Why do I have to poop when I go to a Barnes & Noble?
It's a thing.
Why do I have to poop when I go to the store? Why do I have to poop when I go to a bookstore? Why do I have to poop when I go to TJ Maxx, Target? It goes on and on and on. And it happened to me this last weekend. And it is a major thing. And I want to explain it to you because here comes the science. Locke, glad you brought it up.
There's so science. There's cups, legit science behind it.
100%. Three cups of coffee Saturday morning. I have three, get up at 5. I'm working, coffee, oatmeal, go for a walk, come back. My son comes downstairs. He eats. He's like, Dad, you got to take me to work. I'm like, no problem. Take him to work. Drop him off. Have a great day at work, son. No problem, Dad. Really appreciate it. High five. He turns around. I feel the growl. Everybody knows what the growl is, where you get that little feeling. And you're like, a little anxiety attached to that, too.
There's stages of it, too. Like, sure. I mean, there's that
concern.
Growl.
Is that first concern?
And then there's the tightness, like overall pelvic tightness.
Yep.
Where you are doing everything you can, your core, to keep it in. And then
hang on to it.
Then there's pushing cloth.
Touching cotton. As I feel the growler on my way back from dropping my son off at work, I have a plan. I have a Saturday morning plan. I make these. I'm going to hit the grocery store on the way home. When we get home, I'm going to do some meal planning. So I'm like, I do not want to make two trips. And you know me, I'm a dude. Right, guys are like, how can I get the most efficient trip here? What do I need to stop? What do I need to get? And you pile it all into that trip, and then you go. So I gambled. I'm like, I think I can hang on. I think I can just hang on. I can get to the grocery store. If it is an emergency, I know the grocery store I'm going to. My buddy owns it. I know where the bathroom is. I'll be able to use the bathroom, even though I don't like taking public dumps. I'm not a public dumper. I'd rather do it at home. Every time,
I have no problem. I could take a dump right here in the middle of my loft.
That's exciting.
With the camera running.
I'm sure you could. I can't do that. I can't do that. So I get to know Frills. I grab a basket. I start making my way through produce, and I'm starting to sweat. Now I'm cramping. I grab bananas.
That's also a stage.
I don't feel good. Now we're at stage 2 in the poop window offering, where I'm like, I don't feel good. It's changing my constitution. My nervous system is starting to get out of whack. I'm getting a little sweaty. I now have a headache, and I have a throbbing sensation in my taint that can only be described as an emergency. I make my way to the meat section and the dairy section, which I know where the bathroom is, and I look at the door, and it's got a punch code, and it says, please contact a person with the code and go get a bag boy, and he'll be able to open up the bathroom. I go get a bag boy. I come back 3 minutes later. There are 4 people lined up, and someone is in the bathroom, and I am in trouble. 4 other guys are feeling what I'm feeling on a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Call of nature. I'm now doubled over, and something's going to happen, and I can't figure out what that something is, but it is a major issue.
Did you shit your pants at North Pearls?
I'm a 51-year-old man, and I do have some dignity, and I still to this day have not shat myself, and I didn't want the first time to be in a No-Frills. So I'm like, I got a choice to make. I can keep shopping, or I can cut bait. I cut bait. I'm like, should I pay for these groceries or just leave them here? Only had a few things. Am I going to pay for them? I am in so much pain at the cashier's checkout.
You actually tried to pay.
I am sweating. I am almost in tears. I am shaking, and my legs are crossed, and I let out a little fart. Because my body knew it had to make room. The woman behind me looks at me like I have just done something terrible because it does not smell great, right? It had to get around all that stuff just to get out, just to make a little extra room. Now I'm embarrassed, not so embarrassed, but embarrassed enough that I'm like, eh, sorry, I probably shouldn't look at this woman. I waddle out to my car.
It's a clenching run.
And it's cramp season. I'm dying. I'm sweating. I make my way home without actually being able to sit down. I've got the full like leg into the end of the wheel well, and I'm trying to drive, and I get home and I hit pay dirt, and it was the greatest experience of my life. And that happened to me every single time I go grocery store shopping, go to Winners, go to Walmart, and you know where it really happens? IKEA. Of all places, IKEA. Every time I go into IKEA, I'm like, I don't even get into the ball pit area before I have to take
it. Languages, IKEA means I shit my pants.
It absolutely does. So I did some research. It turns out that when you go shopping, there are certain smells, environments, and anticipation which increase your adrenaline and your cortisone levels. So you get excited. And because you get excited, your system starts to move a little more.
Behind the...
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So because I'm excited to buy food or groceries or things, or I'm in a place where there's a bunch of shit happening and I can't control the environment, my body reacts by going, we have to shit. And every human being has the same trigger. I found that out this weekend. Now I am so much smarter for knowing these things and passing these things along to you. I'm not concerned anymore. I'm just never going to gamble with my bung piece from here on in.
I had a similar sort of revelation when I realized that I wasn't the only one that got travel hemorrhoids. It's actually a thing.
It's a thing.
Yep. Yeah. So I, you know what? Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
We've gone a little too long today. I will not bore everybody with my recent shit story.
Thank you.
It's really gross too.
Thank you. I appreciate you not sharing.
We should wrap up on yours.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you didn't shit yourself in an overalls.
The panic. Do you know the panic I'm talking about?
You know, it might be the color too. Is it?
I'm not talking about those things. I'm not talking about specifics. I'm talking yellow. About that panic. No. It was a panic. It was like this thing where your body was like, we hate you. I hate you. I don't care what you do, but you need to get to a bathroom. I'm going to make you put everything down and you need to get to a bathroom now.
For that, me.
And it only ever happens when I go to grocery store, IKEA, Walmart, or Winners.
I've heard of this. I don't think I'm that guy. Like, I can go into a Walmart and not have to take a dump. But I have this with Pilsner, with the beer, the with the rabbit on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a Western Canadian thing. Do you guys, is there a pill there?
No pill here.
I was wondering because we buy it occasionally. It's actually a really decent beer. It's a big Saskatchewan thing. They call it Saskatchewan champagne. And I remember I went to buy beer one, like a bridge pack one week. And this was like a couple of months back. And I had like 12 in there. And the reason I bought it is because it was so cheap. Right. And it was $10 less than a 15 pack. And I literally, I would put the can to my lips. And as soon as I touched my lips, I was like, I would run to the bathroom. And I went on the locker room that next day. It was back in January or something. And I said, am I the only one? And boom, the text lines lit up.
Yeah.
There was a ton of people that were like,
you got to normalize poop conversations. People are afraid to admit that they have a problem with their bung piece anytime they're in certain situations or with things that they drink. They're like, nobody wants to hear about it. You know how many people are walking around out there going, what's wrong with my asshole? If we just started talking like this, nothing would be wrong with your asshole. You'd be able to go about your business and not be super anally concerned all the time.
And if they've got like a passcode for the no frills to get into the bathroom, I would hit Superstore because you don't need you got a clear run to the shitter there.
Yeah. I'm no longer going to be using that grocery store specifically on Saturday mornings after three cups of coffee and a massive pile of oatmeal. I learned my lesson.
All right.
Thanks, buddy. Good to see you. Lachlan Cross, 957. No, you're not there anymore. Never mind.
Yeah. You don't need to say that again. Thanks for bringing it up, though.
That was actually an accident. I didn't even mean to do that. Lachlan Cross from Cryer Media at Lachlan Cross on Twitter.
I'm gonna click the button to leave. Okay, you don't need to. See ya,
dude. Relax. Like I said, it was force of habit. My apologies. Didn't mean to make your day any worse. Anyway, have a great day, everybody. Thanks to Lachlan Cross for joining us. Thanks to Kareem Assad. You can find her at Kareema Rules on Twitter as well, which is where you can find all of her stuff. Also at Cryer Media. Just put her name in the actual search bar, Cryer Media, and you'll find everything she does there. Thanks to you for joining us as well. I want to thank our partners at CanTorque for making this podcast possible. They make rugged, hardworking torque wrenches. Every single custom fabrication of any torque tool solution under one roof. If you need a bolting solution, they have it for you. They do heavy industry, the boring industry, tunnels, stuff like that, nuclear, railroad, forestry, heavy equipment. It doesn't matter. If you've got a torque wrench problem, they have a torque wrench solution. industrial torque tools, the best in the world, made for industry around the world. Go to cantorque.com. Check out their new website, products, and services today, and get in touch with Colin. Also, download his new podcast called Talking Torque. You can become a distributor as well. Every solution under one roof, all your bolting needs, saving you time, effort, and hassle for industry around the world and heavy industry. Go to cantorque.com today for more information. Also brought to you by Muse on the Mic, Muse Massage Spa, $20 off 45-minute sessions. Go to musemassagespa.com for more information on Canada's number one body house and body rub parlor, 1290 Finch Avenue West, Unit 13, Toronto, Ontario. They've got a great, great, great podcast where they take you behind the scenes of what it's like to work in the sex industry. They're advocates and educators as well, and sexologists. They'll be on the program, Riley and Emily, on Monday, but you can download their podcast and learn all about what it's like to run one of these programs, what it's like to own one of these massage parlors, and what it's like to be an advocate for the world's oldest industry, responsible and safe. You will love it. Entertaining. These girls are great talkers as well. Download their podcast, Muse on the Mic, anywhere you get your fine podcasts, including the uncensored version at Patreon. You can also go to YouTube and subscribe to Muse on the Mic YouTube, so check them out today. And we're brought to you by our friends at Ed's Fine Imports. His luxury branded Gitch boxer briefs with the pouch in the front can be yours with promo code Gitch3. You get a free pair, Gitch3, edsfineimports.com. Use that promo code at checkout after you buy three, and you'll get the extra one for free. They've got four packs. They've got singles. They've got orange, red, purple, and black. And these are the best boxer briefs in the world, made for Canadians in Canada, but also made for people around the world. They ship anywhere. Go to edsfineimports.com, promo code Gitch3. He'll send it to him in a matter of days, and I can guarantee you these will be the best boxer briefs you'll ever buy. Made for any level of performance as well as everyday life, engineered with you running, sprinting, or walking through your day in mind. Super soft, barely there fabric, moisture wicking. Gitch, your underwear, your boxer briefs. Gitch3 is your promo code. Check them out today. Have a great day, everybody. Oh, as well, brought to you by the number one fact-checking software in the world, factcheck.io. They are building their beta test right now for Origin and Sentiment. This is a disinformation killer that doesn't just check the news source. It checks the actual country it came from. It checks all social media aspects and then provides a report as to whether or not you can trust the information and the people who give it to you. Go to factcheck.io today to join their beta testing program. Really simple. You just sign up and then you can send that invite to a few other friends. If you're interested in being informed properly and if you're tired of disinformation, join Fact Check's disinformation killer beta test team. Go to factcheck, factcheck.io, and join up today. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow on this very program. Will we? Yeah, we will. We're back tomorrow. Nice. We're nice people that way. So are you. Thanks for giving us your time. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Everywhere the imagination dares. It's for the open-minded, the pleasure seeker. It's Jeff Woods with the new podcast about relationships and sexuality, theme-based with special guests, the Blue Hotel Hotline, and every episode climaxes with an adult bedtime story. Get a room and listen in at the Blue Hotel. Begins Friday, September 23rd.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com and listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.